Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Bree.
And this is CSI Talk. Welcome back, everyone, another week, another episode of CSI Talk. Hi, before we get into today's episode, I just want to let you all know that this is a safe space for you. This is always going to be a safe space for everyone, regardless of your age, your gender. You know, we're always going to be here for you. So, still no news on the strike or when CSI is coming back. I don't think we can expect a return in January because it's already September. We are currently recording this on September 1st, and I don't think we can expect them to return to pre-production on January. I mean, it's still possible if they come back to the table. But
a lot of the producers right now, execs, all treating the strike like it's no big deal.
Yeah. But it is like a big deal. Well, just like she plays Penelope Garcia in Criminal Minds, she commented on a post on that the page of Criminal Minds did missing them, like missing the actors on set, and she commented that, well, then you should bring the writers back to the table and the actors can have a good amount of money for their work so they can be able to live. I mean, we want the Inside Vegas season 3 because it's been confirmed we want season 3. But we also want that the actors
And the writers to
make their living wage, because it's not fair to them. Well, and today, look, guys, trigger warning, because this episode is kind of heavy. This episode is kind of heavy on so many levels, because the episode only has one victim. Technically has two victims, because the second victim, like, we've only get the name of the second victim later. But this episode is really heavy. The name of the episode is Bloodlines, and it is the season finale of season 4. It's episode 23 of season 4, and it was written by Sarah Goldfinger and Ellie Talbert. Everyone is in this space. Everyone is working in space. The official synopsis of the episode is the CSI's investigating when the casino employee is beaten and sexually assaulted on her way home from work. The victim identifies her attacker, but the DNA evidence suggests that he isn't the person responsible. Later, Grissom has to help out Sarah, who ends up on the other side of the law when found but not charged for a DUI. That's in the very end of the episode. Well,
very end.
Yeah. The victim of the episode, at the beginning, she was found alive, but she would die. Well, she is a pit boss at the Proms.
And she's played by an amazing actress. And those of you who might recognize her, especially those of you who are an older Gen Zero or younger millennial or above that, she was Ellie Bartlett in The West Wing.
She's leaving her work at the Palms, and she gets into the car and she's driving away. When you watch the episode, it's clear that she's being followed. And the very next scene, she's shown with only her underwear and her t-shirt on, and she is running through the woods. She managed to get to a backyard. She bangs on the glass door, makes so much noise, and hurts her hand in the process. Awakes the dog and the couple that lives in the house. Then she's running through the streets before she collapses on the floor. That same we see, she's being looked after by the paramedics because she's being transferred to Desert Homes. And Grissom is documenting her injuries. Rez tells Grissom that the neighborhood is a young neighborhood. There's nothing around. The couple called the police after the insurance company called them up. Apparently, they got an alarm that someone was trying to break in. Grissom decides to follow a blood trail, and he finds the victim's past through the neighborhood and finds her abandoned car on the side of the road. And he is able to ID the victim through her wallet because of her ID. He also finds money. It means that money was not the main target. She was the main target. This wasn't a robbery. And what really bothers me is that he's all alone.
It's Grissom. What else do you expect?
I know.
Grissom and Sarah are not. Do you like to? Well, everybody actually. Everybody likes to go off alone.
I know. It's just. Anyways, Nick shows up where and Grissom is. I guess Grissom literally just called Nick and he was like, oh, follow the blood trail. Nick says that there are no skid marks. Skid marks is the mark on the ground that sometimes the tires leave. And there are also no signs of other vehicle besides the victims. Since the victim's car engine is still running and no flat tires, Grissom's like, well, why would she stop? Apparently, this is why Sarah is the best at processing cars. Meanwhile, at the desert farms, the victim is being processed by Catherine. And Sarah is also at the hospital. You can actually see that Sarah is very
struggling.
Yeah, she's struggling with this case. Any case involving sexual assault. Yeah. Any case involving sexual assaults against women is part of Sarah. She tells Catherine to take the semen. And Catherine's like, don't you want to take the semen? And Sarah's like, no, I'm going to take the evidence. Going to take the evidence to the lab. Okay. The victim's name is Lindley Parker. The victim gives a lot of details to Catherine. She says that she was leaving work and then she was tailgated by a black SUV. She can't remember much, but she remembers that the black SUV, the plate number was 446. That's all she remembered. When Lily pulls over because of the tailgating, she left her car to see what was the damage. That's when her attacker punched her in the face and then proceed to sexually assault her. While this is all happening, while she's giving her statement, Grissom and Nick are processing everything that they are finding on the place that happened. Everything is corroborating her story. At BD, Lingley, she gave a physical description of her attacker to a forensic artist. It's so raw because the forensic artist tells her to remember what was going on. Remember what was going on and close her eyes and then open her eyes and look at the sketch. And the victim immediately threw up. Sarah is watching this from the outside, and Grissom's like, when was the last time you took a vacation? And Sarah's like, when was the last time you took a vacation? Neither one of them took a vacation ever. And Grissom was like, oh, I think you should take a vacation. And Sarah's like, I'm not taking it. And Grissom doesn't push it. I think he should have, as her boss. He should have. Catherine, she puts the pressure plate number that Lingley was able to give to her 446. And she finds more than 5,000 license plates just in Nevada with that. And she is able to narrow it down to 312. Greg tells Grissom that he wants to work in the field. Like, am I going to be able to work in the field or not? And Grissom tells Greg, you'll be able to work in the field as soon as you find someone to replace you in the lab.
Which is true.
Yeah. Greg gives Grissom the test results and says that the DNA that was collected from Lindley matches a rape murder case from a year ago. The work in Grissom, they decide to go over the case that happened over a year ago. It was the rape and murder from a 32-year-old named Emma Dubin. She was found not far from where Lindley was assaulted, and they were both white and similar ages, but they had nothing in common, and they were attacked by the same person. So, size 9 shoe was found at both scene, and they were like, oh, so they were raped by the same person. Yes, obviously, because it was the same DNA that was recovered at both scenes. Honestly, with the partial play that Catherine found and also the description that Lily gave, they are able to identify Dr. Todd Coombs as a suspect. He's brought in for questioning by Brass, and he is a psychologist. It's funny because as soon as I looked at that actor, I really thought it was Paul Rudd. Because it looks like Paul Rudd to me. I don't know. I know it's not Paul Rudd, but it looks like Paul Rudd. Catherine's looking at the car and she notices that there is a scratch in front of his car, which corroborates Lily's story that her car was hit from behind. At the station, Lily picks out Todd from the lineup. Grissom goes and collects the DNA sample from his mouth. This is relevant. Okay. So
very relevant.
Yeah. Nick compares the shoe prints to Todd's shoes, but there's no match. Greg tells everybody that Todd is not their guy. He's not the culprit. Because the DNA is not a match. He says that there is only 7 out of 13 alleles in common. If you can't remember, it's okay. If you don't, the alleles that he's talking about is probably the alleles that comes from the mother, which means that they were most likely looking for a sibling. And in fact, they were looking for a sibling. But they just didn't know that they were not looking in the right place. They were always looking in the same place. Todd is released from custody, and Catherine tells Lindley. And Lindley says that they made a mistake, that she was sure. I mean, it felt like to me that Catherine was kind of gaslighting Lindley, because Catherine's like, oh, you're under attack at the US dark at those circumstances. You were not able to see very well. And Lily was like, he was trying to kill me. He was going to kill me. I knew who he was. And Catherine still, you know, was trying to gaslight her. And apparently there is like this law that won't allow you to buy a gun if you were attacked. Like after 72 hours after an attack, the law won't allow you to buy a gun. after 72 hours if you were attacked.
Attacked.
Yeah, attacked. Catherine decides to give Winley her business card, and she's like, oh, give me a call if you need anything, okay, if something happens to her. Sarah, she just goes into Gerson's office, and she's like, you're looking for Todd Poom's brothers. I'll work out the family tree. And then she just leaves. Like, Grissom doesn't even have to tell her what she needs to do. She works the family tree, and she finds out that Todd has four brothers. Larry, Roger, Billy, and Kevin. Who was out there naming those kids? Larry and Roger, they both own a car restoration company.
Fans of 76 TV.
Yeah. And they give their DNA, and Warwick notices that one of their car is a missing, has a missing grill plate. Okay. And the flashback shows a grill, which is apparently is a piece of the car, being matched into Lily's bumper. And then someone removed the grill and replaced it. Sarah goes to Bailey, who works as a security guard in an area really far away from where Lily was attacked. And Bailey actually makes a good argument. She's like, lady, how would I be able to go attack this girl and come back to where I work? Make it make sense. But still gives me his DNA. And then Nick cannot find Roger at the address. At the lab, Catherine gets a call from Lily. She feels unsafe, and she tells Catherine that she is desperate. And she tells Catherine, I know you know someone. Please give me a name. I need a gun to protect myself. And then the call is cut because someone breaks her the window of her car and kidnaps her. Then Catherine goes without an officer.
What else do you expect?
To bring an officer because something happened to Lindley? Or at least bring rats with you?
Yeah, okay. It's the end of the season. Nobody's smart at the end of the season. We see this basically every season.
Oh, yeah. Catherine, she goes to Fremont Street where Lily's car is, and the window is smashed, and there's a piece of broken window. There's some blood on it from the attacker. Next scene, Grissom shows up with Brass and a few officers, and Grissom tells Catherine, so you were on the phone with Lily when she was attacked, but there is no cell phone here. Which means that her cell phone is still with her. Her cell phone had a GPS. Apparently, that was in the time there that GPS started to be a thing in cell phones.
And its infancy stage is yes.
Yeah. Nick even asked Catherine, like, how did you notice that her cell phone had that GPS? And Catherine's like, oh, she had all this new tech gear on her car. I figured she would have a new cell phone with a GPS. And actually, it makes sense because Nick tells Catherine that her phone was moving. The whereabouts of three brother clones are confirmed. But when Brass goes check on Todd Poom, his wife tells him that he used her car to go to the house company, which is apparently it's a store that sells a lot of things for the house and the plant as well. When the Brass is going to that store, he actually drives by Todd and he's vacuuming his car. And Brass actually starts to speak with him. And is looking at what he's doing, but he cannot search the car without a warrant. After Todd leaves, he picks up his phone and this detective, Brass, I need a CSI at my location. And he's just there, you know, holding the vacuum to make sure nobody's using it. And I'm just imagining Brass just holding the vacuum, waiting for a CSI to show. They find the signal of Wenwei's phone to an empty lot on the edge of the town, which is pretty far away. And it's found under her jacket. The jacket is being dragged around the ground by a coyote, yeah. And then a cadet finds her body nearby. An autopsy, my favorite sequence. Anyway, Catherine's taking pictures of her body and she's sequencing and everything. She's taking all of the evidence. Guys, I hope nothing like this ever happens to you. But if something happens, if anything we want from CSI is to get that evidence, scratch your attacker, buy your attacker, you know, anything, you know, get that evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So the CSIs in real life can get that evidence and bring the attacker to justice, you know, buy them, scratch them, do whatever you want with them. Just get that evidence so your attacker can be brought to justice. I hope none of that happens to you. I hope you never have to do this. But if something like this happens to you, just get the evidence that you need. Sarah and Vartir, they go to the property where Lily's body was found. And Sarah realizes that the property belongs to the Combs family. And they actually found the fifth brother, Kevin Combs, at his trailer home. And he is... Kevin opens the door and he's prepared to shoot at Sarah and at Vartir with a shotgun. But he is taken into custody. An autopsy, Doc Robbins, he tells Catherine that Lily's COD was strangulation. And she was strangled with a pantyhose like the first victim. She was sexually assaulted again. But she does have defensive wounds because she fought back. Sarah is going through Kevin Combs' house. Anyways, house, front yard, backyard, I don't know. She finds a rusted Pontiac. And she remembers that in the report, it was written that Emma, the previous victim, owned the same type of car. But she takes pictures of it. So, and he's questioning Kevin, and who doesn't cooperate with anything. But he appears to have some sort of mental illness, and it's like the government watches you, and they get everything that they want from your DNA. And when Persim is walking by, he finds Todd sitting outside the interrogation room, and Todd tells him that Kevin is also family, and he's also a psychologist, so he understands Kevin, and Kevin is harmless, and he lives off the grid and turns the wreck from his brother's garage into art. Then Grissom tells Todd that the VIN number that they found from the Pontiac that they found at Kevin's yard belonged to the first victim. And that Lily's body was found on the property. And Todd said, oh, it's been around before. Okay. Nick is going through the vacuum. Apparently, Nick was the CSI that showed up after Brass was holding onto that vacuum. And he found a label from the house company, which proves that Todd Combs actually was telling the truth. He actually went and got plans at the Todd house. But when Warwick walks in, he found a label pin from the Palms Casino. And Nick says, well, a lot of people work at the Palms that doesn't necessarily connect Todd to the murder, but I would argue under the circumstances it actually does,
because yeah, it is extremely suspicious.
Yeah, Catherine and Grissom, they are going over the pictures of Lily's crime scene, and Grissom tells her that the blood they recover from the smash car is a match to the semen from both rapes. And it doesn't match the one that they have. I love that. When Grissom says that it doesn't match Todd or any of his brothers or any of the Grimm brothers. If you ever read one of the Grimm brothers' tales, they're pretty scary. Anyway.
One of the Grimm brothers' tales have now they got Disney-fied.
Yeah, they got Disney-fied. Most of the stories that we know from the princess, well, it wasn't actually like this. Catherine says that Lily was really confident that it was Todd that attacked her. But Grissom was like, yeah, but we gotta trust the evidence. Yes, I know, Grissom. But you also gotta trust in the victim, right? Because you said that Grissom always says that we gotta be the voice of the victim. And Brent tells them that one of the hairs that Catherine lifts up from Lindley's body is a match to Todd. This puts Todd with the body. But Grissom is like, oh, it doesn't prove rape. And Catherine's like, yeah, I don't care. We have him with the body. Bring him over. So that is going to be processed. He's going to be processed by Grissom. Grissom tells him to strip down to his underwear because he's going to take pictures to document any injury because he had defensive wounds, which means that her attacker had wounds. Todd says that the wound that he has on his wrist are from moving boxes. Okay. Sam is about to take a picture when he notices that there is a scar on Todd's lower back. And he says it was from a bone marrow donor because it was a bone marrow donor and his brother had leukemia. So originally there were 6 brothers. And, well, bone marrow hurts like bitch. At least that's what they told me. Anyways, so Grissom takes a picture of this car and something lies up on Todd's back. And Grissom's like, hold on. Something's off. He asks the officer to turn the lights down and then he takes another picture and he gets he ALS and he realizes that Todd has V-shaped patterns up and down his back. Grissom goes back to his office and he realizes that Todd actually has a condition called, I'm going to spell that wrong, I'm going to butcher this name, I'm sorry.
Chimera.
Technically Chimera, but the scientific name is tetragrammatic chimerism. And it's basically when the embryos of fraternal twins collapse into one. He goes through a lot of pictures of the home office and he finds out that one is a chimera statue. He decides to collect a blood sample, not a DNA sample from the mouth. Then Grissom tells Todd that when he first donated his bone marrow was when he realized that he was a chimera. That he had 2 different sets of DNA in his body. Then Todd is brought back to the interrogation room and he admits the brass that he killed 2 victims. Grissom tells Catherine that because of his condition, the DNA from his mouth will never be a match to his semen because his semen was from his dead twin brother. Then at the end of this shift, Nick, Sarah, and Warwick, they had gone out after the end of the case. And Warwick asked them out for a meal, but Nick and Sarah, they turned him down. And Sarah actually congratulates Nick because Nick was supposed to get a promotion. But they didn't give Nick a promotion because they decided to train Greg to become a CSI. But Sarah has a lot to drink. and she's pulled over by an officer, and then
they had just lowered the legal limit. So yeah. They did not do anything except call her supervisor and bring her in.
Yeah, they had to bring her in, call her supervisor, and instead of yelling at her and firing her,
lecturing.
Yeah. Grissom just tells her that he's gonna get her home.
He grabs her hand.
Yeah, he grabs her hand and takes her home. Well, if you're a fan of Teen Wolf, like I am, let's not talk about the movie. I'm still trying to get over Derek Hill's death. Oh, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. But Chimera, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was in season 5 of Teen Wolf, if I'm not mistaken. And actually, in Teen Wolf, it was kind of like a procedure performed by what was called the Dread Dog, kind of like mad scientists, and they turned teenagers into supernatural creatures, but they were just werewolves. It was like werewolves with an extra strength, with claws of an eagle or something like that. That was a chimera. And this thing that we had on Bloodlines is an actual condition. It's according to science, it's a rare sex chromosome disorder of sex development characterized by two different sets of maternal and paternal chromosomes and variable phenotypes from normal male or female genitals to different degrees, and it leads to infertility. Yeah, so chimera do exist in real life in the human and humans, as it's shown on CSI. But I don't think, I mean, as someone who has been studying crime for about 3 years now, I never come across an offender who was a chimera. Not to say that they don't exist, probably they do, but I've never come across one.
Well, it's a rare condition.
It's a rare condition. Yeah, absolutely. It's a rare condition.
And next week, are we done talking about this episode, Kai?
Yeah.
Next week, we're talking about a very special episode that's not part of CSI Crimes Investigation, but it is part of the CSI franchise. It's from CSI New York. It is episode 1 of season 8. It was for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, which I was 4 when it happened. So I had very few memories of 9/11. And the episode is titled Deniable.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, when Brie came to me and said, like, I want to do this episode, when I told her, it first began when I said, I think we should expand our universe and bring one of the CSI spinoffs. We should expand and bring one of the CSI spinoffs because I really like the whole franchise, and what should we do? And me and Brie, we discussed it for some time, and we ended up deciding on CSI New York. Because I've mentioned CSI New York a couple of times, and we're like, okay, fine, we're doing CSI New York. And then one day she was like, oh, can we do this episode because of 9/11? And I was like, yeah, sure, totally, of course. I did study what happened. Of course, if you, not particularly the CSI Crime Scene Investigation franchise, but TV shows that as NCIS and Criminal Minds, they've dealt with this idea, and they've had some episodes dealing with this. I mean, Criminal Minds had a few early episodes.
And but a lot of shows that took place in New York around 2011 did a 10-year anniversary special of 9/11 because of how impacted the whole country.
I understand that we're going to be doing this episode because we made this decision as a team. She asked me to do it, and I was all in for it. But this show is still about the series CSI. And we're still going to be dealing with the show CSI. It's just a spinoff of CSI New York.
Yeah, it was the second spinoff.
Yeah, Max Taylor himself was showed up in CSI Crime Scene Investigation.
So did Danny.
Yeah, and also DB showed up in CSI New York, right?
Yep. And Ray showed up in New York also.
Yeah, so it's still CSI. This the name of the show is CSI Talk. So we're going to be talking about CSI, but this a particular episode is about this event that took place on 9/11. And it's not something that I don't think anybody's going to forget. I mean, it's something like World War II that you're going to have to keep remembering so you won't repeat the same mistakes of the past. Mm-hmm. And that episode is great. I watch it once. I mean, it's kind of upsetting, but it's beautifully done.
They
could not have shot that episode in CSI Crime Scene Investigation because that show takes place in Las Vegas. And even though the episode itself, it shows what was the character's reaction to what happened. Now, I think Max Taylor's first wife died in 9/11, right? I think that's canon. Max Taylor's first wife died in 9/11.
Yeah, she did.
And he worked in the show. He also sometimes he works with the lab that is conducting research to identify the victims of 9/11 to see if he can find his wife's remains. So it's pretty upsetting. What I want to say is that even though this happened in the United States and we are covering an episode from CSI New York, this is still a show for everyone. As we always say in the beginning, this is a safe space for you. And this is our CSI family that is always ever growing. Just want to let you all know that this is a safe space for you. Okay? We love you guys so, so much.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.